Good morning and welcome back to 501C TV. I'm your host, Janelle Harris, and this is a podcast that talks to system change leaders, thought leaders, nonprofits, and nonprofit partners to find out what is new and exciting in our favorite world of nonprofits. And this morning, I'm excited to have with me Christine Raymond with Extraordinary Charities. Good morning, Christine.
Good morning, Janelle.
I'm very excited to have you here. You're kind of a unique guest because you are in line with helping charities, and I think today the conversation is all about collaboration.
Yes.
And how that makes sense and why it's so important. So thank you for being here. I think this is a really unique opportunity for any of our nonprofit friends listening to understand like what you guys do and why it's so important. I know we were talking before, when I found out about you guys, I was like, this is such an amazing concept because so many guests that I have come in here, a lot of them are doing the same thing. And they're like, how do I align myself with other people that have the same mission? So we're not all spinning our wheels doing the same thing in the same place with the same donors. So we'll get into all that. But first, if you could give me a little bit of background on you, where did you come from? How did you end up here with Extraordinary Charities?
Yeah, exactly.
I always like to know how people end up where they're at.
Yeah, usually it's an interesting story, yeah. Right? So I grew up in Boca. So went to high school in Boca, left went to college and law school in Washington, D.C. And
awesome.
Kind of when I left, it was like, I'm never coming back to South Florida.
Right.
You know, never ever.
Famous last words.
Right. Never ever. Did a lot of commercial litigation initially.
Okay.
Quickly realized that I liked having free time.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of every time I had a child, I have three.
Oh, good.
I downsized law firms and got smaller and smaller until, eventually when my third child was born, I was like, okay, this is not what I want to do for
sure.
The rest of my life. And as I begin to get involved with the community and with my kids' schools, and I just realized how much power there was in bringing people together to get something done.
Yep.
So did a bunch of different things as the kids were growing up. And then 5 years ago, I got a call from my dad and his wife who started Extraordinary Charities.
I did
by
not
the
know
way,
that.
Yes.
Oh my goodness. A family affair. I had
family
no idea.
Affair.
I did not know that. That
yes.
is really cool.
Yes.
Awesome.
So 5 years
well,
ago.
Well, thank you to them for that. Cause
right?
It's so cool. Yeah.
Right.
I love this whole backstory on it.
Yeah. It was really cool. You know, they had gone to DC
mm-hmm.
and attended a convention. And they heard this woman speak about a catalog for philanthropy.
Mm-hmm.
And that sort of started them thinking like, wow, what a great resource. How can we bring that concept down to South Florida?
Right. So I'm not from South Florida. I've been down here about 8 years. And one of the things that it still like hits me is the sheer amount of nonprofits that are just in our small little area.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at just Palm Beach County and then you expand beyond that, just in this little tiny crescent of the area of the state. And, when I was meeting people down here, I was talking to people and I'm like, oh, because every Wednesday when I do this, I get sucked into, all these different missions. And I go back and I have these conversations with my husband and my friends and they're like, wow, I've never heard of them. And I was like, nothing makes me like more like I'm out here. Like, I'm going to make sure everyone knows. And that's kind of why we started doing this is because I was like, that bums me out that like, there's all this really amazing, great work going on right in our backyard.
Yeah.
And a lot of people just don't know about it.
Exactly.
So.
Yeah. And that was the whole point behind Extraordinary
mm-hmm.
Charities. At last count, we have something like 8,000 nonprofit organizations
right.
just in Palm Beach County. And, everybody knows the larger ones
mm-hmm.
and they do great work.
Yes.
But nobody knows the little guys.
Right.
And there are so many of the little guys that are doing so many great things that, when Beverly, who created Extraordinary Charities,
mm-hmm.
what she really wanted to do was just to shine a light on the work of the smaller organizations.
Yes.
But then along with that, find out ways that we can leverage their collective
mm-hmm.
power to make a bigger impact.
Totally. And I think that's so smart and so amazing. And I'm like, so Extraordinary Charities, we'll get into like exactly what they do and what the mission is. But they've been around about 10 years, right?
Yep.
Okay. So 10 years and I'm sure that's gone by like in a blink and has changed so much. But walk us through how Extraordinary Charities kind of started out and where they're at today.
Yep.
And then we'll talk about what's in store for the future
okay,
perhaps
cool.
too.
So pretty much for the first 5 years of Extraordinary Charities, their sole mission and function was to publish this directory for charitable giving.
Okay.
So every year, the organization vets anywhere between, 50 and 100 organizations that are looking to be part of something bigger. And then we would select anywhere between 30 and 50 to be part of our network and to be part of this directory for charitable giving. And then in that directory, we would publish, a little bit about their story, their mission, and then we would also publish their needs.
Okay.
So what we did is when we got the directory finished, we would send it out to foundations and fundraisers and philanthropists and estate planners and wealth management and really anybody that we thought would be interested in investing in the work of the little guys.
Sure.
And so we did that pretty much strictly as our sole function until the end of 2017 when we got, those crazy calls that you're like,
maybe we could.
Right, like, what if? So we got a call from a commercial real estate agent who said, hey, there's this wacky Italian restaurant in the middle of an industrial area in Westgate. We know you work with hunger-related organizations. The building has a massive fridge and freezer, and it's all full of food.
Hmm.
Can you come help us get this food out into the community because the Italian restaurant's going to go under?
And all this is going to waste,
right?
Which is a bummer.
So that was kind of our first, how can we intervene and get this food? But that ultimately didn't work out. So the opportunity arose for us to actually buy the building.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So
that building was an old Italian restaurant.
It was so strange. I mean, there were murals of Venice and Rome all over the walls. Crazy. And then I think they had tried to turn it into like a gourmet Italian market that didn't go so great either.
Yeah, because it's in a strange area. So, and we'll talk about this because we were talking off camera before about how, you think about a collective build, because Extraordinary Charities, if you've never been to the building, it's a collective.
Right.
It's basically like a corporate center, like an office building, if you will, for all of these charities, the Extraordinary Charities that are part of this group. But they're all housed together, which I think is so cool because, you've got like that environment of like being able to like bounce ideas off each other and you're all in one area. You don't feel like so isolated, like, hey, I'm out here doing my thing.
Right.
All by myself.
Well, because it is really isolating.
Yeah.
If you're leading an organization and most of the smaller ones, it's one person, two people.
Right.
And so it's really easy to convince yourself that you have the next greatest idea.
Right.
Until you bounce it off someone else.
Right.
And you might have the greatest idea, but, you need that validation. You need that interaction.
Totally.
And so when we started talking to, the organizations after we bought the building, and we were really fortunate that a foundation that was started by my dad's wife, Beverly, was able to purchase the building. So
that's awesome.
All we had to do was worry about how are we going to cover our operating costs. So
Sure. We
started talking to our organizations, and it was like, field of dreams. If we build it, will you come?
Totally, yeah.
And just trying to figure out what they needed. And there were a lot of them that didn't have an office at all.
Mm-hmm.
Those that did have offices didn't have space to host their clients or their donors, or they just didn't have, they didn't look like what they were trying
right.
to accomplish.
Totally.
Right. So we kind of, had this discussion with our first group and we said, okay, here's what we want to do. Will you help us design it? Will you help us tell me what you need?
It's beautiful.
It's wonderful.
It really is wonderful building. Like I said, I was telling Christine, Azul is one of the charities that is in there. And when I was going in to meet with them, it's like you walk in and you're like, oh, this is really cool. It's a unique space. It's way bigger than I thought it was going to be. And to your point, it's got like a really good vibe. Like there's just a lot of like good work. Like you're under this roof of all these amazing people doing all these like really cool things and they're all different. So
yes.
We'll talk about some of the charities that you guys have under your in your family, if you will.
Sure.
It's really a unique space. So when you guys are looking, when back in the day, so I'm sure that the people in there have changed or are they all still the same?
Well, no, that's the goal, right? So it's kind of a, stay here till you grow up. You can stay in your mom's house till you go to college.
Right.
Or in my case, when your kids come back. Anyways.
And then there's still
that's another story.
It's a different podcast.
So, it's grow up and out. So,
got it.
We want to be an accelerator for growth.
I love that.
We really encourage, okay, what's your plan? How long do you want to be here? One of our very first organizations, Sea Turtle Adventures.
And, I love
that. Right?
I really want to get them in here, too. How can you not love
They're amazing.
All the sea turtles?
But when she moved in, they were serving 40 clients with 4 programs a month. And then by the time that they moved out a couple years later, they had grown to serve 200 clients with 15 programs a month. So they just outgrew us.
That's what you want to see. That's the whole point, right? That's so amazing.
Yeah. And then, you know, some of them we have a hard time. Like, we know that you should be going, but we're like, but please stay.
We want you to stay. That's hard.
So, yeah. I mean, it's this mostly functional family of organizations. You know, we still eat each other's leftovers. But, you know, it's so nice to be able to walk down the hall and have a peer who's not, you know, who's not in your organization, but who gets it.
Yeah.
That you can just say, help.
And, you know, it's always it's funny because my husband's background. So in this marketing world that we're in, he has so many different people that are in completely different industries, don't have anything to do with what we do. But he's like, they're my go-to people when I need to bounce an idea or have them tell me you're crazy. That's never going to work. Or you have something here. It's nice to have that group of people that you can always kind of bounce ideas off of in a little, you know, little compartmentalized area. So I think that's really great.
Yeah, it's worked really well, you know, and it is such a happy space. I mean, you walk in and you just feel like, you know, okay, I'm safe.
Truly.
You know?
I really did too. And I didn't know what to expect when I went there. I, you know, just through working with nonprofits and just being in this world in the last like year and a half, I heard about Extraordinary Charities all the time. Like the name kept coming up. And then when I finally had the chance to go, I was like, this is so cool. Yeah. I love it. And then when I saw you were coming on here, I was even more excited. Yay. So awesome. So tell me about how you guys pick who, you know, when you have an opening, I guess, how does that work if somebody was interested and they were like, this might be something that I would want to do.
Exactly. You know, we've been fortunate in that we haven't had to go out and hunt for organizations, you know, because our rent is way below market rate.
Awesome.
And it's always based on a discussion like, okay, what can you afford? What do you bring to the community as the building community as a whole? Mm-hmm. How can you contribute? How can we help? So, you know, we have a wait list. So every time somebody's in there, it's, oh my gosh, do you have office space? So, you know, we have our list of, you know, okay, who's up next? And we really are intentional about the kind of community that we curate. Mm-hmm. So we don't want to have two organizations doing the exact same thing.
Right. Totally get that. Makes sense.
Yes. And we want to have, you know, organizations that are farther along in their growth journey and then some that are brand new.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have the Pink Queen Foundation in our building.
Yes.
And she's relatively new. But, you know, she has been able to learn so much from the others in the building. And then she teaches us things as well.
It's such a win-win all
really
around. Is there anyone else doing anything like this?
Similar. You know, so 1909 downtown is a wonderful co-working space.
Don't know them, but
yes, they're great.
Interesting.
Yes, they're great. They have a co-working space. They do have some nonprofits that are working with them as well. They're trying to do the same thing, to curate a community of people that are like-minded, trying to accomplish good things together.
Awesome.
So we love what they do. But, you know, we would copy and paste if we found the right property again.
Okay.
You know, in different areas of town, just because it has worked so well.
Yeah. And that's what I was wondering. I was like, so what's the plan here? Like, would we do like more of these if given the opportunity?
Absolutely. You know, absolutely. If the funding were right and we found the right opportunity, we'd love to be doing this concept in other areas of town. And you know, our focus is going to be Palm Beach County for the foreseeable future. But it's a concept that really, you know, I hate to say it's not complicated, but it really is not that complicated.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work.
Of course.
But it's not complicated.
No. And that's what I was thinking. Like when I was coming over here today, I was like, why don't they do this like everywhere in every town?
Because
it just makes like such complete sense to me. But I guess you have to have somebody that has the passion and the drive to want to set it up to begin with and manage that in each location.
Well, and they laugh, you know, I'm the building mom. You know, I have to referee the disputes on who's in whose parking space or who took the shopping cart out of the hallway or whatever. You know? But you do have to have the right team that can see what kind of people fit in your community and how you can all live together harmoniously.
Yeah. And, you know, especially in the corporate world, I mean, that's why there's HR departments thrive. Like there's so much drama in like a regular setting. But the thing that I love about this whole concept, too, is that, you know, again, you have somebody to go in, and nonprofits are like just complicated. Yes. Like they have a lot of unique challenges from inception to forever. And so to be able to have other people that either have gone through that experience, are going through it, have come out on the other side, can say, no way.
Yeah, don't do that.
Don't do it. Like, don't do that. Or, oh my gosh, you don't have this. Right. Like, you need this. Hands and feet.
Yeah.
So they're part of the collective. My husband sits on their board.
Oh, I love them.
So they're amazing. Yeah. And the things that like Bailey has been able to do in such a short time, and she's so young. I'm like,
yeah, I know.
I was not
going to be her when I grow up.
Totally. Same. I was like, the things she's done, like I was not doing the things she was doing at her age. But, you know, when she started out, she's like, the number one thing I hear from my smaller nonprofit friends is I didn't set out to be a nonprofit. I didn't think I'd be doing this.
Right.
And so if you're not prepared for that, that's a lot,
It's true.
And it's a lot to navigate.
And you don't know what you don't know.
You don't know what you don't know.
And we had a meeting of executive directors, and we try and do that, you know, pretty regularly for groups in our network. And, you know, somebody said, oh, gosh, I wasn't trained for this. I didn't know. And I said, wait a minute, time out. You know, how many people in this room were trained to be an executive director of a nonprofit? Not one.
No.
You know, all of us have come into it, you know, because we have a passion for the community.
Yes.
But nobody, I don't know anybody. Actually, that's not true. Our program coordinator is actually in school studying nonprofit management.
You know, I was wondering if that was a thing. Like, has to be like a thing now because, like, philanthropy and nonprofits, especially with like the younger generations coming up, which is so like refreshing, they really, you know, have an interest in that and really want to be a part of doing good things. So I'm not surprised by that.
I'm glad.
Yeah,
because
it's
wonderful. It is a business. At the end of the day, you're running a business, and
a complicated one.
A really complicated one. You know, like what kind of business has to go ask for money?
Totally.
You know, all the time and justify what they do. Just to be able to do what they do.
Right.
You know, and it's
to
so
do good stuff.
Right.
That's nuts.
And it's so competitive. Mm-hmm. You know, and it really shouldn't be. You know, and that's the whole point of what we're doing. Is really like, look, we're all on the same team. Mm-hmm. You know, we might be quote unquote competing for the same funding, but there's plenty to go around.
And that's the thing. I mean, I could see, and I start to see this a little bit more lately, like maybe in the last year or two. And I don't know if this is like a post-COVID thing maybe, but I do see a lot of collaboration now where it's kind of like, to your point, we're doing the same thing. Why aren't we teaming up on our events so you're not paying astronomical costs for your event and I'm not paying astronomical costs and then it's a break even and then it's like, why are we doing this? So so that is refreshing. I hope that, you know, little setups like this will drive those nonprofits to like think outside the box. And to your point, like we are like all in the same bucket fighting for the same donor money, but like, we do it together, you can be bigger and more powerful together.
Right. And there's so many different ways to craft those kinds of agreements that allow you to work together and protect your own organization and interests at the same time.
Right.
So, it's just you have to think outside the box.
Yeah. And I love this. So that's what I feel like this entire organization does. It's totally a creative concept. And I think it's really neat. One thing I did want to talk about, which I think is so, so cool, is Recipes for Success. Let's talk about this because I think this is so awesome. I'm going to let you talk about it. I know what I saw online, but I want you to explain what this is because I think it's really important and it's a really neat concept.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah.
Recipes for Success was one of those 3 a.m. ahas. You know, like, oh my gosh. So, you know, we had an event at the building and we were talking to some of our restaurant partner friends and they, you know, as every restaurant owner in Palm Beach County does, they were lamenting the fact that they can't get employees. Mm-hmm. You know, it's so hard. We're so busy, blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, on the other hand, we have our network of organizations who are always telling us, oh, gosh, you know, it's so hard to find good jobs. The cost of living keeps going up.
Right.
It's hard to find productive employment. You know, we have a lot of clients who really need second chances and employers aren't always willing to extend them. And so the wheels started turning.
You're like, why?
I'm like, wait,
where's the disconnect here?
Yeah. Right? So, and we have this beautiful commercial kitchen.
Yes, you do.
So we were like, well, this is a no-brainer. Why can't we help close that gap? Mm-hmm. You know, we have organizations whose clients need jobs. We know people who need employees.
Mm-hmm.
Simple, right? Haha. So we started looking for, you know, we started designing this program and we were really lucky. We had help from Leadership Palm Beach County. One of their classes came in really early and helped us essentially design our program prospectus so that we had a roadmap. But like any good nonprofit, we built the plane in the air while we were flying it. We still are. But
when did you start this?
We started just 18 months ago.
Okay.
Yeah. Awesome. So 18 months ago, it's an 8-week culinary training program that's open to both neurotypical and neurodivergent adults.
Okay.
It provides them with a serve-safe education and certification, plus all the skills that they need to go be employed in a restaurant as a line cook or a prep cook.
So cool.
Yes. And, as an outshoot of that, when we kicked off the program, we had this wonderful, grand opening, kickoff, blah, blah. And our chef, who's absolutely wonderful, did the food. And, of course, the question came, oh, gosh, this food is great. Do you guys cater? And like every slightly insane nonprofit leader, I said, yeah, of course we cater.
What do you need?
Oh, my gosh. And then we went back and said, well, great. So we started, and Chef gets so mad at me when I tell him we accidentally started a catering program. But, again, there was a need. You know, COVID affected the catering industry as well. And so when there were fewer and fewer options,
right.
We started realizing that this was an opportunity that we could take advantage of. We could provide it. It would generate revenue that would keep the program going. And side benefit, it's a wonderful venue to employ neurodivergent clients.
Yeah, I think it's awesome.
So,
and it's just, again, like you guys, outside of the box, it's such a win-win because, I'm thinking from the business owner standpoint, I'm the restaurant. Having somebody come in that's already like trained and understands just so many of the concepts that working in a restaurant bring, that's off my plate.
Right.
And I have somebody that's like prepped, ready to go. They understand, they know what's going on, and like, boop, 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 they just come right in day one and they're ready to go. And that's like such a huge, huge help. I also think on the flip side, for the person, it gives them a sense of confidence. They can go in. They feel good about the fact that, they're not, I'd be freaked out. Like, I've never done this job. I don't know what's going on. Right. Then I'm going to, that's going to affect me and my ability to go in and do it. So it's just it's a good thing all around. And I think it's such a cool program. So in 18 months, how many people have we put through this program?
In our first year, we trained 50 students and we're on. Yeah. That was just in 2023.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
And that is
then,
a lot.
I know. And then we're on track to train about 100 this year. So, it's just been one of those things that, you find the need, and it's so.
It's a win-win for everyone, is so good.
And it's so hard for some people to either get that first job. Or, if they've been out of the workforce for some time for whatever reason, when they come back in, it's so intimidating.
Very.
And food and cooking is such a great way to build community that it just fits with what we do. We're so invested in being able to create community, in Palm Beach County.
Yeah.
That, bringing food into the equation just is a natural fit.
So do you have, I know Subculture Group I see on here. They're awesome. They have so many like awesome restaurants that I've been to personally.
Same.
But if I'm a restaurant and I'm like, hey, this is really cool, Christine, I want to get involved.
Yep.
Would they just reach out to you and then they can just join the program or?
Yep. We do on-site interviews. So we bring in the restaurant employers so they can see our students in action. Every 8 weeks we do a graduation and we'll invite prospective employers to come in. And the graduation is the students preparing lunch for their guests and serving. So, the employers get to see them in action. And, when you see somebody at work before you hire them, I mean, it's so much better and easier for them to say, okay, yes, I see that person's skill. I see how they fit. Yes, I would like to hire that person.
So cool. Yeah. It reminds me, there's some other nonprofits in the area that do like construction where they team up with like construction companies and they go through a certification. And again, just a win-win.
Yep.
That person is certified, ready to go. The company has the, they feel good about who they're bringing on. They know the person.
Yes.
They know they've been through this whole set of training. Yep. And I just love it. Yep. I think it's like such a cool thing. Again, I don't know why there are more programs like this, especially in like the service industries and food service. of course, in general, because there's always so much turnover in that industry. Absolutely. To begin with.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
really, really cool. I think that's really neat. I'm excited for you guys and to keep watching and see what else you guys do to grow this.
Thanks.
So let's talk about, you know, we talked about money. It takes money to keep things running. You guys have some really cool events that you do.
Yep.
So I want to talk about those. I'm going to let you take the wheel on that and tell us about your,
cool.
You have one coming up in like, well, your big one's in March.
May. So yeah,
it
that's
is in
okay.
May.
Yeah.
Okay.
So this is our second year. We've started doing an annual fundraiser because for boring tax reasons, we started as a private foundation and we're now a public charity.
Got it.
So we are now raising our own funds instead of being supported by a family foundation. So
gotcha.
So the need is even greater for
yeah,
us to raise
for sure.
money. So we started a Kentucky Derby themed fundraiser called Talk Derby
yes,
to Me.
Yes, yes, yes,
yes. Yes.
Who doesn't love the Kentucky Derby?
You know, it's really fun. So we've done it this our second year and we live stream the race and, mm-hmm. and people can quote unquote bet on, you know, who they think is going to win. And
awesome.
We have silent auction and live auction. And that event's been really fun and really successful. And we do a couple kickoff events leading to that.
Okay.
And then we are just about to launch our culinary battle series.
Oh my gosh. So, is this like a Chopped?
It is. You know, it is.
Okay.
So,
I need to hear more about
yeah,
this.
Yeah. So the
this
first
so
one
cool.
we're doing is first week in August, we're doing Battle of the Nonprofits. So it's going to be four nonprofit teams competing.
Oh, so cool.
Yeah.
That's and soon.
It is.
And where are you guys doing it?
In our kitchen.
In your
mm-hmm.
kitchen. Oh
yep.
my gosh.
And then we're
going to so
repeat
cool.
it with, you know, Battle of the First Responders, Battle of the Branches for the Military, Battle of the Banks, Battle
that
of the Builders.
So, cool.
so yeah.
I love that. I love everything about that. You guys definitely need to come out and like all about the fun, if you can't tell.
Yeah, it is fun.
Do you come up with these ideas, Christine?
See, we have a great team.
I was gonna say,
yeah,
I don't know,
have
these
a really
are all
good
pretty
team.
Good.
My board is wonderful. You know,
I love
I have
that.
A super engaged and supportive board, and you know, they all, you know, there are some that have had extensive nonprofit experience.
Yeah.
So they are my best advocates and my best idea generators.
Yeah, you're very lucky. That
I am.
That makes
super lucky.
Makes or breaks things for a lot of organizations. So
exactly.
I'm happy to hear that.
Thank you.
Anything else that you want people to know about Extraordinary Charities other than the fact that A, it's like such an awesome concept. I'm like obsessed with it. And B, your facility is amazing. I mean,
Thank you. We
could go in and do like a whole walkthrough and people would just be amazed to see like all the cool things that you guys are able to just produce an offshoot out of that one little space.
Yeah. I mean, the having the building has really yeah. changed the game for us. And you know, we've been able, especially now that we have catering, it's really become a great meeting site for
yeah.
so many of our organizations. You know, you can come and you can do your board meeting and you can have catering or, you know, you can do a cocktail party or, well, last week we had a 60th birthday party for somebody.
Really?
Yeah. So, you know, it's not a massive event space and
it's
not the Ritz, but you know, you're supporting individuals who are trying to get productive employment. So, you know, it's a great space to have an event or a little meeting.
Can we find information on the catering side of it?
Yeah.
Just on the website?
Yep, on recipesforsuccess.org.
Okay.
The catering has its own website.
I know that'll perk up a lot of people because
yeah.
I know there's always an event going on in
yes.
Palm Beach County.
Yeah.
So that's awesome.
You know, our whole goal is just to be a resource. You know, we, you know, I kind of have a philosophy. I never turn down a meeting
mm-hmm.
Because you just never know.
Absolutely.
And it's all about having conversations to connect people to each other.
Yeah.
You know, and inevitably, you know, you find after a conversation that you know five people that they need to know and they know five people that you need to know. And then, you know, before you know it, you've had this wonderful conversation that turns into something great.
Totally.
So, you know, that's what we're about. You know, we're about creating connections and reducing competition and really just finding ways to streamline the work of the nonprofit sector.
Because mm-hmm.
You'd think with 8,000 of us, a lot gets done, but not always because we're
yeah.
all, you know, out there.
Spinning the wheels and trying
yeah.
to like do, and to your point, there's so many that are doing a lot of the same work in the same buckets. When I say buckets,
yes.
like, you know, animals
right.
or,
yeah.
you know, I don't know,
right.
foster care, whatever have you, whatever those buckets of missions are, it's so much better if you can just do it all together.
Do it with a friend.
Yeah.
Why not?
And
right?
make it more fun.
It's way more fun.
I know. I
yeah.
totally agree.
Yeah.
So I think that's amazing.
Thank you.
I really appreciate you joining us here today. I hope everyone follows along and just go. Your website's beautiful, by the way.
Thank you.
You guys have a really nice website.
Thank you.
Follow them on social. You yeah. have to attend all of their awesome events. The kitchen series alone.
I know. I'm so excited.
I like
And so, plus, who doesn't like getting to eat at the end of a workout?
Yeah. Right? Thank you very much. Yeah. So I appreciate you being here.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for such a great story. And I know I'm excited to just follow along and see. Yay. What all the other good, what other 3 a.m. ideas you're
right,
going to have
gosh.
That come to fruition. So thank you again. And we'll put up all of your social handles here so everyone can follow you. And let's keep tabs on Christine and Extraordinary Charities and see all the other good things that are coming down the line for them. So thank you very much. And that wraps up our time here on 501C TV, and we appreciate you watching and following along. And a special thank you to Kana House Studios, Wellington's first and only social content creation house here right in our backyard. And we'll see you next time on 501C TV. Thank you.